Amen. The verse 20 is the words of our text, Luke 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The theme of the message tonight is the death of a farmer. Some of you in the meeting will be familiar with the name of Frank Marshall. Frank Marshall was an evangelist with the Irish Evangelistic Band in this country many years ago. He was a man that was greatly used of the Lord in his evangelistic preaching. On one occasion, he was holding a mission. In preparation for that mission, he was going around the doors, the homes of the area. It was a country, a rural area. He spoke to a farmer in the field, and he invited that farmer to come along to the mission, to come along to the gospel meetings. The farmer was a man that had no interest. In fact, he was opposed to the gospel. And whenever Frank Marshall spoke to him that day, he lost his temper. He went mad. And he chased the evangelist out of the field with the pitchfork that he was holding, that he was using to do his work with. As that gospel mission was coming to an end, Marshall saw the same man again working in the field. And his heart was touched for that man, and he thought he would go and speak to him again, give him another invitation along to the final meetings of that gospel campaign. As he went up across the field, and as he approached where the man was, he noticed that there was no movement. And what he found was the farmer was dead, leaning there upon his pitchfork, leaning upon the same pitchfork it chased him from the field with just the few weeks before. That, men and women, was the tragic death of a farmer. In fact, it's even more than that, because it was the tragic death of an unconverted farmer, because the man knew not Christ as his Saviour. And that story is really, men and women, that is an illustration of this passage. That story is really what this text of Scripture is all about, the death of a farmer. Here, men and women, is a farmer who's successful. Just think of the details we're given here in the passage. He's a farmer who is successful. His farm is doing well. He's a farmer that's prosperous, because we learn that he's making a lot of money. But he dies tragically, and he dies without God's salvation. And perhaps, men and women, the same might be true of you, some person in this gospel service tonight. Maybe it will be true of you, that solemn reality, that you will die unconverted without Christ as your Saviour. There's some very important points about this farmer's death I want to emphasise to you by way of warning to every person gathered with us in this harvest meeting. You'll notice, first of all, his strength. Isn't it true to say that farmers are men with great physical strength? That was especially true of the former generations. Whenever there wasn't as much farm machinery, and all of the work on the farm was done manually, done by hand. Some of you here tonight will remember the days when you turned the hay with a fork, bringing in the barley in the bags, scattering the manure with a fork. Some will even remember the threshing, the binding, the milk in the cans, all the other manual work that had to be done. So it is hard work being a farmer. You have to be strong in body. Farmers are strong men. And the reality, men and women, is that the man the Saviour speaks of here was a man that was very strong physically. For one thing, he was young. He said, much goods laid up for many years. He's a man that's looking out on life. He's expecting to live for a long time. He had all of his life before him. So he was a young man. He was also a healthy young man. He's working hard. He's a young man that's out in the fields. He's bringing in the harvest. The picture the Saviour gives us here is of a man that's healthy, a man that's strong. Here's a young man in the prime of life, a young man without an ailment. And perhaps that's your condition as well. If it is, that's something to thank God for. And if it is, men and women, there's something you need to remember. There's something you need to take note of as you study this passage of Scripture, because that's when this farmer died. He died in his prime. And what a warning. What a warning that is to our hearts tonight, men and women. Can I say to you, can I stress, the Bible nowhere promises that you will live to be old. Do you remember what Job said? Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Notice the words carefully. He didn't say that you'll come to the grave in old age. You see, the age of death is different for every person. Many that die are not old. You only have to walk around the graveyard, the cemetery, read the headstones, the details that are recorded upon them. You think of Barzillai, the old man in the Old Testament that was a supporter of David. Barzillai was another farmer. Barzillai died when he was old, when he was frail. He was an octogenarian. He was 80 years of age. But what a contrast here. This man died when he was young, died when he was strong. He died in the full bloom, the full vigor of life. So I remind you, there's no guarantee, men and women, that you will live to be old. So what that means is this, that you need to get saved. You need to come to Christ, trust him as your Savior, and you need to get saved today. You need to get saved now, while you still can, and while you still have opportunity. His strength. I want you to think as well of his substance. Verse 16 says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So this farmer was wealthy. He was a man of substance. He had already made a lot of money. And because of the good harvest, I think we could describe it maybe as the best harvest that he'd ever had. Because of this great harvest, his fortune had just increased. He was a man of substance. And perhaps you're the same. The same is true of you. You own a lot of property. You're worth a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. If you get your money honestly, and if money and wealth is not your God. But if you do have a bit of wealth, and your life is taken up with those things, there's an important question that you need to ask yourself, and it's found there at the end of verse 20, the end of the words of our text. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? That's a good question, men and women. Whenever you die, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? When you're no longer here, who will have it? Your land, your wealth. Who will have all of those things when you're gone? Who will fight over them when you're no longer here? That's a good question, men and women. The Savior had been asked there in verse 13, the question, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that interesting? Disputes among families over wills and inheritances is nothing new. It took place even in Bible times. Even the Lord Jesus was confronted with those things. Can I point out to you? He didn't get involved. Who made me a judge or a divider over you? He was saying to him, that's not my role, my place, my ministry. But it's interesting that even the Savior was confronted with those things. But men and women, take time to consider the question. When you're dead, who will have your wealth? One thing is certain, and that is that you won't have it. The psalmist said, for he saith that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. So I just want you to settle your heart for a moment and take that in. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to leave your wealth. You're going to leave all of your wealth. And you're going to leave it, men and women, to others who come behind you. Did you know that Alexander the Great Whenever he was buried with his hands upon his chest, but with his palms outward. And the reason for that was he wanted all who saw him, all that filed past his dead body, past his corpse, to see that despite the great military victories that he'd had, and he'd conquered the then known world, and he'd amassed a great fortune of wealth, he wanted everybody to know he had left this world with nothing. He left this world empty-handed. And remember, men and women, you can labour all your life, and you can build up a vast empire that will be worth a fortune, own a lot of land, have a lot of money, but you're not going to take it with you. You'll leave this world with your hands empty too. You'll leave this world with nothing. Do you remember what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes? As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return as he came, and shall take nothing of his labour, which he may carry away in his hands. Isn't that interesting? Think of those words. Shall take nothing of his labour, which he may carry away in his hands. I pray that will speak to you tonight. Paul said to Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. So men and women, be clear about this fact. You won't take anything with you when you die. Death is a separation. That's a very good definition of death. At death, your soul is separated from your body. But at death, it will separate you from your wealth, your riches, your land. And it will separate you from those things forever. Remember the words of the hymn, at the river. It's a reference to the River Jordan. It speaks to us in the Bible about death. At the river, you'll leave it all. You'll leave it all behind. Can I ask you, as you think of that tonight, would that not warn you of the need, the great need, for you to be in possession of something that you can never lose? What that means, men and women, is you need Christ. You need his salvation. You need his mercy, his forgiveness. So as you face eternity in the face of the certainty of death and eternity, let me stress to you tonight, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. Saved and sure. Sure beyond all doubt that you're right with God and ready for eternity. So that's a little bit of substance. Think of a season. Solomon said, to everything there is a season. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. You think of the question, when did this farmer die? At what season of the year? Well, it's clear from the passage, it was in the harvest, the time of in-gathering. In other words, it was a very busy time of the year for the farmer. Probably, it would be true to say, the busiest time of all on the farm. And you know, men and women, there's a very clear and solemn lesson there. You may be too busy to eat. Sometimes that's how it is on the farm. So much going on. You may be too busy to eat. You might be too busy to talk. You might even be too busy to pray. More and more people in our society today are too busy to go to church. You may not have time for your family. Too busy for your wife and your children. But be assured of this, men and women. You'll never be too busy to die. Never. Remember that solemn truth. You learn it here in this passage. He was busy. But in the midst of his busyness, the Lord took him away. You know, many years ago, a farmer looked up one morning. He saw the minister coming down the yard. The farmer had a lot going on that day. Didn't really want to stop to talk to the minister. So he shouted up the yard to the minister, don't you be coming here today. I'm far too busy to have time to talk to you. The minister said to him, just let me ask you one question before I go. And this is what he asked. If I was death coming down across the yard today, would you still say that you're too busy? You're never too busy to die, men and women. Death never takes account of where you are. never takes account of what you're doing, how much you have to do. It never takes account of what plans you're making. You know, there are those who have died in church, died sitting in the pew, just like we are sitting right now. Some have died in the pulpit. Our brother Peter Lunn, organist at Martyrs, when I was at the Martyrs Youth Fellowship many years ago, he told us of the church that he grew up in. The minister speaking one evening, didn't feel well, stepped back to the seat, sat down, and died in the pulpit. Some have died even at a family wedding. My great aunt died on the day of her granddaughter's wedding. See, death is no respecter of days, no respecter of occasions. You're never too busy to die, men and women. So let me ask you tonight, what if you died today? What if you died this autumn, at this harvest time? I saw the scythe in the hall as I came in, the entrance hall. Well, what if the grim reaper came now and put in the scythe, put in the sickle, and cut you down? What then, my friend? Oh, you might argue with me, that won't happen to me. Can I remind you that this man died suddenly? His death came without warning, came unexpectedly. I'm sure you've often read those words in the obituaries. So-and-so died suddenly, died unexpectedly. That's how it was with this farmer. His death was a shock. Shock to the family, shock to the whole community. He was young. He was in the full vigor of life. He thought he would live for many more harvests and live for many more years. But he didn't. Just a few hours later, in fact, before the next morning dawned, he was dead and gone, and his soul was in hell. So let me ask you again, what if you died today? What if you died this autumn at this harvest time? How would it be? How would it be with you in eternity? Have you any hope as far as eternity is concerned? You see those words in the text, this night? Let me stress that to you, men and women. This is a vital night. Vital night for every unconverted person. This is a night of destiny. It's a night of eternal destiny. This could be your last night on earth. This could be the last opportunity that you have to get right with God. This night. Think very carefully about that. Jeremiah said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's referring to Israel, Judah in particular. Let me make that a little more direct to you. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. You're still not saved. How fearful, men and women. How fearful that is. One other truth I'll emphasize. That is his soul. The words of our text says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We don't know what was the cause of this man's death. The Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know if it was an accident. Remember that there was a big building program that he was launching out onto. We don't know if it was an accident as a result of that building work. We don't know if it was an illness. We don't know how he died physically. But we do know how he died spiritually, men and women, because he died unsaved. He died without Christ as a saviour. The fact is, this man's soul was lost. And I want you to ponder that tonight. The reality, the stark, solemn reality of a soul been lost for all eternity. You notice the words there in the middle of verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Think of those words, no room. Those two words sum up this man, sum up his life. He had no room. He had no room for his harvest. So he decided to build bigger barns. But far worse than that, men and women, he had no room for the Lord. No room for the gospel. No room for salvation. The hymn writer said, room for business, room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Those words of the hymn writer describe this man. Perhaps they describe you as well. Here's a man that was planning for time, planning to live a comfortable life, but he had no plans for eternity. And men and women, that is the greatest folly of all. That's the reason why the Lord called him a fool. Thou fool. You see, he had not a thought. He had no preparation for a soul. No preparation for a soul in the light of eternity. There was a famous Baptist pastor in America. Dr. George Truett. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas for over 40 years. The Lord used him greatly in that Dallas area, much further afield. One of the things that he did during his ministry, he lived during the days of the First World War, and he came over to Europe, and he did evangelistic work among the troops that were fighting in Europe. But one day, when he was pastoring in Dallas, he was invited out to the country, invited out to a ranch, a man that he knew very well. They had dinner together. After dinner, the man, the rancher, the farmer, took him up onto the roof of his house. He wanted to show off a wee bit about his land and his possessions. So as they were standing up on the roof of the house, he started to point out in every direction, as far as the eye could see. He said, Dr. Truett, you see all those trees, that great forest? It's all mine. The other direction, he pointed, and you see all those fields of grain, all those fields of corn? It's all mine. Pointed in another direction, and there was the meadows, the grass, and hundreds of cattle grazing upon them. And in another direction, he pointed, and the great oil derricks. He was branching out into drilling and pumping oil. He said, Dr. Truett, I came to this country 25 years ago. I had no money, but I've worked hard, I've saved hard, and everything that you can see in every direction, as far as your eyes can see, it's all mine. He was waiting for the words of praise from the preacher, but to his surprise, they didn't come. Dr. Truett gently, kindly stepped up to the man, put his hand on his shoulder, and he asked him this question. How much do you own in that direction? The man said, I never thought of that. Never thought of that. So taken up with what he owned here, that he'd no thought about heaven, no thought about a soul, no thought about eternity. And maybe it's the same for you. Can I ask you tonight, my friend, is it well with thee? Can I make it clear in asking you that question? We're not asking you, is it well with you physically? We're not asking, is it well with you socially or financially? We're asking tonight, is it well with you spiritually? I want you to think about your soul tonight. Is it well with your soul? How is it with your soul? Can you say tonight, beyond all doubt, my soul is saved by the grace of God? You think of a girl receiving an engagement ring from her boyfriend, and she's more taken up with the box, a little black box with a lovely velvet inside. She's more taken up with the box than she is with the ring. You would say that that is foolish, and so it is. And yet, you know, men and women, you're just the same. In fact, even far worse. You say, why is that? Well, you're just taken up with your body, and you have no thought for your soul. So how is it? How is it with your soul tonight? Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus? What shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What an awful tragedy. No greater tragedy, men and women. Doesn't matter how successful you are in this world or in this life, how much you accomplish, how much wealth you amass, there is no greater tragedy than to die and your soul be lost, your soul go to hell forever and ever. As I draw near a close, let me remind you that the first person ever to die in this world was a farmer. His name was Abel. The Bible says, it's the answer we teach the children in the Child's Catechism, he was a keeper of sheep. And Abel died, or it's more accurate to say he was murdered, at the hand of his own brother, who was another farmer. So two farmers, two brothers, two farmers. Abel died and went to heaven. Cain died and went to hell. The book of Jude tells us plainly that Cain went out to the blackness of darkness forever. So I ask you, which will it be for you, my friend? Whenever you die, and remember it could be tonight, which will it be for you? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? I'll finish with this. I mentioned to you that the little leaflet, A Fatal Farm Accident. You know the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. Let me tell you how that hymn was written. There was an evangelist in America, a man called Dudley Ting. The Lord was using him greatly. He was holding meetings in the YMCA hall in Philadelphia. There was 5,000 people. Just imagine that. That's more than twice the size of the Martyrs Church in Belfast. 5,000 people attending the meetings. One night when he preached, the Lord moved, the Spirit moved in a mighty way. At least 1,000 came forward to give their lives to Christ. God was using him greatly. By means of relaxation, in the midst of the strain of all of those meetings, he went out into the country one day. There was a bit of harvesting going on, a bit of threshing. He was very interested. He went over to see the threshing machine working, and he stood too close, and the sleeve of his jacket was caught in the thresher, and it pulled his arm into the works. His arm got very badly injured. A few days later, they had to amputate the arm. And then a little while longer, he was called from this scene of time. He died as a result of the injury that he sustained. He had a very close friend, a man called George Duffield. Duffield was at his bedside, at Dudley Ting's bedside, not long before he died. And he said to Dudley, or Dudley Ting said to George Duffield, I want you to go back to Philadelphia, to the YMCA hall, to those young people there, and I want you to give them this message. I want you to tell them to stand up for Jesus. And George Duffield never forgot those words. He delivered that message, and he was involved. I think he was the preacher at Dudley Ting's funeral. But those words that Dudley Ting spoke were impressed upon his heart so much that he sat down and penned as a poem the words that we now sing as a hymn. Let me remind you, as you think of that story, men and women, we know not what a day will bring forth. None of us knows. Think of the Lord's servant, Dudley Ting, being so greatly used, and yet suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, a tragic, fatal farm accident that removed him, called him home from this scene of time. So I want you to be assured tonight, you know not what shall be on the morrow. Like this farmer, you don't even know what this night will bring or hold for you. So you need to be saved, my friend. You need to come to Christ. You need to come right now and receive Christ as your Savior. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? May the Lord bless this word to every heart. Let's just bow together in a wee word of prayer. Just as your heads are bowed and our hearts are still before the Lord, let me impress upon you the needs of your soul. This night thy soul shall be required. Not your business plan, not your accounts, not your finances, not your bank balances, not the architect's plans of the greater barns that you're erecting. Thy soul shall be required of thee. However great the value may be of all that you own in this world, remember that you've nothing more valuable than the soul that is within your body. And there's nothing more important, I couldn't stress it enough, there is nothing, men and women, more important in this world than in this life than to be able to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. If you can't say that tonight, if that's not your assurance, we don't want you to go home without the Saviour. We want you to wait and linger while others are leaving. Stay and speak with us, Mr. Martin, myself. It'll be our joy to talk to you and to lead you to the Saviour. Thank you, Father, for the meeting tonight, for your hand upon the gathering, your presence with us from the very outset. Thank you for all that are gathered. You know the hearts of all men. You know, Father, those that in this meeting, those that have been listening, that are not right with thee. We want to pray that you'll speak, Father. We rejoice in your word that it's quick and powerful. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We pray, Father, that you'll use your word tonight to change and transform lives. Remember the gospel mission, the time of the sowing, the time of reaping. We pray that you'll use your servant. Thank you for the blessing he has known upon his life and ministry thus far. Lord, lead him on to greater days of blessing, greater fruitfulness. We pray that he'll know the power of God resting upon his ministry these 2 weeks. And Lord, we want to pray that he and the congregation here will come rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Hear our prayers. Lord, in mercy we plead, speak on by your Spirit to hearts in this meeting. And part us now in thy fear, with thy favour. Take us to our homes in safety. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.